Since the Columbine School massacre of 1999, many police departments have trained officers to go after an attacker as a matter of priority. After a shooting incident at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut, in 2012, the FBI was given jurisdiction over mass shootings. That led to a series of FBI initiatives to train local law enforcement agencies in how to respond, including the Advanced Law Enforcement Rapid Response Training, or ALERT program, which was developed in Texas. Agents are tasked with training law enforcement and other first responders to ensure that protocols for responding to active shooter situations are consistent across the country. According to the Department of Justice, the program has since trained more than 114,000 law enforcement first responders. The issue of local law enforcement came up after the 2018 Parkland, Florida mass shooting incident at the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School, where a 19-year-old former pupil from the school killed 17 and wounded 17 others. The former Broward County Deputy Sheriff Scott Peterson, who had hidden while the gunman rampaged, was criminally charged with child neglect, resulting in great bodily harm, culpable negligence, and perjury. Florida prosecutors described Peterson's actions as unprecedented and irresponsible. Peterson is scheduled to go to trial in September and has denied the charges. The Washington Post reported the first police officers to arrive last Tuesday, 24th of May, were from the Uvalde City Police, which has some SWAT capability and about 40 officers. But command of the incident was taken by Uvalde Consolidated Independent School District Police Department, a separate division that has 6 police officers and oversees security for 8 local schools. According to Uvalde School District Police Facebook page, the small department hosted active shooter training at Uvalde High School in March. It read, "Our overall goal is to train every Uvalde area law enforcement officer so that we can prepare as best as possible for any situation that may arise." In 2019, the Texas legislature passed a measure requiring all school police officers undergo the training and noted the shift in law enforcement tactics since the Columbine tragedy and the failures of the Parkland response. The state curriculum advises an arriving officer's first priority is to move in and confront the attacker. The Texas curriculum states, "First responders to the active shooter scene will usually be required to place themselves in harm's way and display uncommon acts of courage to save the innocent." The 2020 state manual adds, "A first responder unwilling to place the lives of the innocent above their own safety should consider another career field."
This is IRIB English Radio. Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum, everyone. Welcome to IRIB English Radio. This is Asma, your humble host for today's episode, and you're hearing me from the Viewpoints, in which we shall discuss some very controversial issues. Without further ado, I'd plunge into the heart of discussion. But before that, I would like our dear guests to introduce themselves to us. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. I'm Ali. Thanks for inviting me to your show.
The pleasure is all mine. And you?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I am Ruhullah Rouhani. And it's a pleasure to be in the service of you, inshallah, in this gathering.
Yes, and I'm glad to have you here. Well, death and the world surrounding it has always been a matter of questioning for too many people. Through history and from the old ages, people used to ask questions about the world to come, about the experiences that are going to happen after death. Now, some people during their lifetime have this chance to get to have some points, some touch of the other world. But when they come back and they explain about the experience they had, it's sort of unbelievable, and it's very hard to believe all what they discuss about. So this experience of going to another world, seeing some metaphysical things that maybe they exist right now, but we are unaware of them, is very difficult to understand. I would like you to help us understand this issue and the process of having these sort of experiences.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his purified progeny. As for your question, I have to say that the concept of death and also resurrection or going to the other world or passing this world and transferring to the other world has been among the inevitable questions and issues of all religions, namely Abrahamic religions. I said all religions, then accepted the Abrahamic religions to say that even other religions, up until the time that they have not been distorted, even it was a case, an issue of discussion and controversial issue among all Abrahamic and non-Abrahamic religions. So it's very interesting for people to know what is going to happen after they actually die, when they enter the Day of Judgment, and let's say...
Sorry to interrupt you, and I think it's because since it's the world of unknown, it's interesting for everyone to know what happens over there.
Definitely.
So I think that's why it's not related to religion or a special culture. Yeah. Everyone is interested to know what happened there.
Definitely. But I wanted to reach to this conclusion that later on in those distorted religions, those who faced problems with the ideology and worldview that they had with, they come to ignore this issue. So it is not more interesting for them, and they don't like to pay attention to that.
They ignore the afterlife?
The life after this life, yeah. Because a modern human is trying to forget what is going to happen after his death. And even they sometimes come to nullify and to nullify all the theories have been said and mentioned, or even whatever has been mentioned in the words of the scholars or the leaders of the religions. So this was the difference. I said that it was a case for the Abrahamic religion. Then, in case even other religions have not been distorted, it was also an interesting issue for them.
Yes.
So that's why I actually differentiated between these two. All in all, this is really interesting because we like to know what happens after we leave this world, to know what is going to happen there. And what is our situation like, whatever has been said and narrated is true or not, but there are even some ways to catch this information and to get to this information earlier, even before we die.
Yes, that's very true. So, and you, please, can you just give us a touch upon that issue?
First of all, let me look at this phenomenon from a philosophical perspective.
Yes.
You see, according to the Muslim philosophers, not only the Muslim philosophers, but also the ancient Greek philosophers, so the truth or the essence or the true nature of the human being is its soul, not the body.
Yes.
So soul is the exact or the true nature or the essence of human being.
Mm-hmm.
So this, when it comes to the soul and to the spirit, we can say, the soul is some immaterial kind of existence.
Just a question. Do yes. all people from all religion believe in the spirits and souls? Do they believe
I'm not sure about all religions, at least for Abrahamic religions, mm-hmm. we are sure that they do believe in this kind of a phase of life where we can say transcendent kind of world. But when it comes to the Hinduism, I'm sure that, yeah, they do also believe these kind of things. But for the rest of religions, I have no idea, because I did not have any kind of studies in this regard. So since soul is completely and perfectly a kind of immaterial existent, so it is possible for the soul to get extension from the body or from the limited kind of material things.
Very interesting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. It is even possible that the person can do it under his own control, because we've had kind of sort of maut-e ikhtiyari in the history of
they
the mysticism.
They go through some sessions, and rituals.
Yeah, mystics or mm-hmm. let's say these kind of people, they have had these kind of experiences that they can get. That they can extend or spread their soul
they
out.
They can
of,
travel to the metaphysics.
Of course, yeah, to experience or to perceive kind of immaterial realities.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes to the possibility of this kind of experiences, based on the teachings and doctrines of Islam, particularly from a mystic or philosophical perspective, it is quite possible. And there's no problem with it.
So now we're speaking of mysticism and philosophy. Now I wonder, scientific issues do not accept the spirits or the souls?
Why not? You know, we can provide...
I mean, has it been scientifically proved?
Of course, recently, if you search through the internet, you find lots of articles, essays, books that are written on this issue.
Mm-hmm.
And there are lots of physicians, doctors...
Exactly.
They did lots of projects researching on this idea, on these kind of issues. So since lots of people from different cultures, from different societies, countries, from different religions, they share these kind of experiences with the doctors, with the physicians. So that's why since numberless people, we can say, from across the globe, they have had these sort of experiences. And they tell us about what they perceived in that kind of experiences. So it's a kind of pieces of evidence that prove the existence and the possibility
of this. It has been proved.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
many of them have the same experience.
Of course,
I mean,
yeah.
some part of their experience are just alike.
Yeah, there are certain commonalities between mm-hmm. all these kind of experiences. So they have some shared and common kind of experiences.
Mm-hmm.
So when different people from different cultures, different religions, they speak about this kind of speech, what this kind of experiences, and they have some shared and common kind of grounds or experiences in these sort of out of body, we can say, experiences. So then it is of course a proof. It's a kind of even scientific sort of evidence.
Yes. So up until now, we came to the conclusion that a human being has got, as far as we know, has got two dimensions, the physical part and the metaphysical part, which is the soul. And we agree upon that fact. Now, the question is, the experience that these people have in their life, a sort of virtual death before the actual death, and they have the chance to come back and retell their stories... how could we justify these experiences? Are they hallucinations? Are they illusions? Or they're just actual things?
Actually, we cannot call them illusions. They might be true and might not be true, because we cannot actually verify the experiences of others. I cannot verify and approve your own experiences, and you cannot
exactly.
do the same for me. So, but we, based on the, let's say, the knowledge that we have about the soul, and as you rightly actually concluded, that We believe that human body is actually made of two important parts and factors, body and soul. Let us say spirit and body. So yes, the experiences of every person are unique for himself or herself, and nobody can actually ignore and let's say improve it 100%, but they can be true because based on the let's say powers that human being have and the spiritual powers that they have, as the brother referred to, the willing death, mot ikhtiyari, so people can go and experience these things before mutu qabla an tamutu. When we are asked, based on the Islamic recommendations, mm-hmm. try to die before you are going to be dead.
Before the actual death.
Before the actual death. But on the title that you have actually selected for that, I am a little bit doubtful to say, to call it a virtual death or let's say actual death. This cannot be called a virtual, because this is also a real and actual transition to the other world, but it's not a complete yes. one.
Then it's safer to put it this way, that... Yeah. In a time of a kind of disease or sickness that might lead into inactivity of the brain?
Even not that form, because, you know, sometimes we can do it while we are quite safe and we are quite healthy.
Like the mystics do.
Even not non-mystics can experience the same thing.
Now it's very complicated.
Yeah, so everyone can have this experience. Mm-hmm. So, but... To say that this experience is true or not, we cannot judge.
But for sure, in those moments, the brain is inactive.
The brain is inactive because, you know, brain is, as the brother said, is a material part. And physical part of yes. the body. But whatever is going to... our experiences comes from our souls.
Yes.
So the experience that we are talking about in this show is just our spiritual experiences.
Yes, a spiritual
So they experience. Can come to everyone. Mm-hmm. A person who is a sick person or a person who is fully healthy. And to everyone that comes in any time and in any era can happen to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
So we have been advised by Imam Ali alayhi salam in Nahj al-Balagha, the peak of eloquence, to think of the death before you die. And you see, throughout the Nahj al-Balagha, we see lots of recommendations of Imam, that Imam very delicately and accurately defines how this transition is going to happen. And when we think about these, let's say, recommendations, something might even come to the people. When you think too much about something,
yes.
that it might even come to yourself.
Yes, yes.
See? And
that's why some people call it illusion, because they yeah. say you think too much about something, you focus upon it, and that mm-hmm. happens to you.
Yeah, I've heard in the biography of Sayyid Ayatollah Sayyid Al-Qadhi, rahmatullah alayhi, that he once asked that, he has been asked about such issues, that where do you know these issues, and where did you experience such things? He said, while I was in graveyards studying Nahj al-Balagha, mm-hmm. those phrases of
it's
Imam.
Very interesting.
Those phrases of Imam about the death and reminding the life after this life.
That's going into the depth of each line.
Yeah.
We're running out of time. We have to have a very wrap-up situation in which I will tell you that we're speaking of death and the separation of the soul from the body. And we talked about some very interesting stuff. Thank you for listening to us.
The same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I wanna have you? To doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know that amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. Guides me through my darkest night, shows me right from wrong in a world that often lies. Cause
I don't need
anyone, anything in life.
Food for Thought.
Hello, dear listeners, and here is some excellent food for thought from Imam Ja'far Sadiq, peace be upon him, the sixth infallible heir of Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. Beware of three categories of people: the traitor, the oppressor, and the talebearer. He who betrays others for your sake will surely betray you. He who oppresses others for your sake will surely oppress you. And he who bears others' news to you will surely bear your news to others.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily round the clock for listeners across the globe. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard via the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellite. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,865 kilohertz every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Europe can tune in to the English service of the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,855 kilohertz, and in Southern Africa via shortwave 31 meters, 9,835 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our programs via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iransat or Bat 5, and via the internet. Our internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Cultural news, social news, scientific news, artistic news. With delight.
Chilean scientists believe they have found the world's oldest living tree in a lush green forest in the south of the country. The scientists say their study shows an ancient cypress known as the Great Grandfather might have been beaten the record for the world's oldest tree by six centuries. The bristlecone pine tree in eastern California is the current record holder with over 4,800 years of age. The scientist who led the study says the sample they extracted and other dating methods suggest that the Chilean cypress with a 4-meter thick trunk is over 5,000 years old.
We could count all the rings, but we know it's not the tree's age. It's an estimation of what we call a minimum age. So for this kind of tree, the scientific challenge is to estimate with science the part that we do not see and that is missing. And that is what we did with the millennial alerce. This method tells us that 80% of all possible growth trajectories give us an age of this living tree greater than 5,000 years. There's only a 20% chance that the tree is younger.
Borisovich is, however, concerned about visitors harming the tree, which is located in the Costero National Park. He says visitors are still able to circle the tree's base, step on its roots, and even take pieces of its bark. The tree is a conifer native to Chile and Argentina and can grow to heights of up to 45 meters.
The world's oldest living man has just turned 113 years and says he's going to be around at least 10 more years. Good for him. Born on May the 27th, 1909 in Venezuela, Juan Vicente Perez Mora is still in pink of his health and memory and does not take medication. He has no trouble recalling his childhood marriage and the names of his siblings, children and grandchildren. He has 41 grandchildren, by the way. So what is the secret behind a long life? Work hard, rest on holidays, go to bed early, love for God, and always carry him in your heart. The Guinness World Records declared Perez Mora the oldest living person last week. The meadows in the foothills of the Swiss Alps have turned white these days, with locals calling it May snow. But it has nothing to do with snow. It's all about narcissus blooms covering the hills above the town of Montreux. Locals call the scene May snow because it looks like a blanket of snow from a distance. The flowers have been a tourist attraction since the 19th century, but factors such as urbanization have caused their decline in the past few years. Humans have disrupted the turtle survival for years due to their greed for meat, eggs, skin, and shells. But the decreasing population of the species is creating conscience of conservation. Cambodians have released hundreds of turtles of an endangered variety into the wild on World Turtle Day. About 600 Cantor's giant soft-shell turtles were let into a river in northeastern Cambodia. After people collected the species from a holding pool, Cambodian monks blessed the tiny creatures, then set them free. The Wildlife Conservation Society was the organizer of this event. It said that only a few records of Cantor turtles have remained in Laos, while they have mostly been wiped out in Vietnam and Thailand. The body has so far released over 1,500 hatchlings into the wild in 2022. Artists in a small town in the United Kingdom have created a massive bumblebee mural, hoping to raise awareness about this vanishing species. The mural was painted on the playing field of a primary school in the town of Haptonbridge. It was debuted on International Bee Day. The artist used paints typically used to draw lines for football pitches. Scientists say rising temperatures and heavy pesticide use are contributing to the decline in the number of bumblebees across Europe and North America. They say the population reduction rate is consistent with mass extinction of a species altogether. Children at a school have also created a wildflower meadow to help encourage bees to pollinate.
The Light is a bulletin in which we bring you a lot of interesting news in different fields like animals' life, cultural events, funny trending news and more from every corner of the world.
A print art exhibition chronicling nearly a century's worth of artistic achievements by a Chinese woodcarver has been unveiled in the city of Suzhou near Shanghai. The carved into wood exhibit features nearly 80 of Huang Yongyu's wood blocks and prints. Woodblock printing is a form of Chinese art dating back hundreds of years. In this form, patterns are carved out of a thick sheet of wood to create a type of multi-layered surface. Then ink is applied in various stages to print the image and its colors. The humble 98-year-old artist said during his years of practicing art, he learned that sincerity mattered more than technique. The exhibition was launched in collaboration between Suzhou Museum and the Beijing Fine Art Academy.
Persian fallow deer is a unique but endangered species known for its sleek and spotted body. In this report, our correspondent Youssef Jalali takes us on a quick tour around one of the world's few protected shelters of Persian fallow deer in Iran's city of Sari.
We had to keep quiet and avoid making any sounds to film them, as they are shy and swift, and the slightest sound could send them sprinting and jumping away. Over 60 Persian fallow deer roam in Dashtinaz Wildlife Refuge in Iran's northern city of Sari. The endangered species is carefully protected here to be safe from predators and poachers.
The Persian fallow deer is native to Iran's Khuzestan province, but due to loss of habitat and threats posed to them by predators such as jackals and wild cats, they are endangered and need to be protected in semi-natural refuges like this one.
Persian fallow deer are mainly indigenous to open woodland areas spanning from East Mediterranean coasts to West and Southwest Iran. By 1875, they had gone extinct in all of their main habitats, except in southwest Iran. After a captive breeding program, the population has rebounded from only a handful of deer in the 1960s to over 200 individuals in Iran.
Dashtinaz Wildlife Refuge is 55 hectares wide. It was introduced in 1962 as a shelter for the Persian fallow deer when the species was on the brink of extinction. At that time, 5 deer were captured and translocated to this refuge. Over the past 6 decades, their number have been multiplied through captive breeding.
The Persian fallow deer is a rare ruminant mammal belonging to the family Cervidae. They're physically larger than other fallow deer, and their antlers are bigger and less palmate. Their special beauty has turned this sanctuary into a hot tourist attraction in Iran's north.
This sanctuary is a tourist destination for visitors who would like to see the Hyrkanian forests in Iran's north and at the same time enjoy the wildlife and learn about efforts made to save the Persian fallow deer from extinction.
In 2015, the Persian fallow deer was registered in the IUCN Red List of Threatened Species. Dashtinaz authorities hope through continued captive breeding, the population of these special creatures will soon reach the desired number, and hopefully they will be reintroduced to their natural habitat in southwest Iran.
While they live far from their original habitat, these alluring creatures feel at home here, where they will be safe from the dangers lurking outside, which may lead to their extinction. So here, Persian fallow deer continue to embellish the nature and charm visitors with their beauty. Youssef Jalali from Dashtinaz Wildlife Refuge in Sari.
A lush green oasis near Sudan's capital, Khartoum, has turned into a haven for dozens of exotic bears from all over the world. The sanctuary shelters over 100 bears of 13 different species. Here, visitors can feed lovebirds, parakeets, rosella bears, and many more. The owner of the sanctuary says he trained the bears over the years to make them human-friendly. Akram Yahia says he has a passion for bears and enjoys it when people come around to see the sanctuary. The sanctuary, which is part of the Marshall Nature Reserve, is a welcome break for the people from their hectic life in Khartoum and nearby cities.
He tried to create an environment that doesn't exist in Khartoum. These environments exist in other parts of Sudan, such as in the west of Sudan, in the east of Sudan, in rainy areas. These areas have environments such as this one, and perhaps even more beautiful. He created this environment in Khartoum, where there is not nature at all.
Domestic and foreign tourists are allowed there only 2 to 3 hours a day. The limited hours are so that the bears' living environment is not disturbed. The owner built the 400-square-meter sanctuary 4 years ago. Over the years, he has added trees, garden, pond, and mist nozzles for cooling off against Sudan's scorching heat. Yahia says he wants to expand the reserve in the future. Indonesians have held a dazzling event to celebrate Vesak, a day traditionally observed by Buddhists in South Asia and Southeast Asia. People gathered at the sprawling Borobudur Temple in central Java and released lanterns into the sky. That's part of prayers marking the birth, enlightenment and death of Buddha, a spiritual teacher who lived during the 6th century BC. The release of lanterns symbolizes letting go of negativity. The occasion lasts 3 days, which includes collecting holy water, sending off lanterns, and meditation. This year, the event was limited to some 1,200 people because of the coronavirus risk. Because of the outbreak of the pandemic, the ceremonies typically receive 20,000 people at the massive temple complex.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful, dear brothers, dear sisters, Salaam Alaikum. So welcome to this episode of today's special on IRIB English Radio. As I told you, this is today's special, and the topic for this episode is father-daughter relations.
You are a miracle. You are a blessing from above. Brought joy to my soul and pleasure to my eyes. In my heart I can feel it, an unexplainable feeling. Being a father, the best thing that I could ever ask for. Just thinking of you makes me smile. Holding you, looking in your eyes, I'm so grateful. Pray that you'll find your way. You know I love you. I love you, my little girl.
Today's Sunday is the 27th of Shawwal, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 8th of Khordad, 1401 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 29th of May, 2022 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. On the previous episode of today's special, we opened the Holy Quran and we'll listen to verses 1 to 9 of Surah Takwir. Today, the same verses.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم.
In the name of Allah, the entirely merciful, the especially merciful.
إذا الشمس كورت.
When the sun is wrapped up in darkness.
وإذا النجوم كدرت.
And when the stars fall dispersing.
وإذا الجبال سيرت.
And when the mountains are removed.
وإذا العشار عطلت.
And when full-term she-camels are neglected.
وإذا الوحوش حشرت.
And when the wild beasts are gathered.
وإذا البحار سجرت.
And when the seas are filled with flame.
وإذا النفوس زوجت.
And when the souls are paired.
وإذا الموءودة سئلت.
And when the girl who was buried alive is asked.
بأي ذنب قتلت.
For what sin she was killed.
لا إله إلا الله لا إله إلا الله.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
ما لنا رب سوى.
Commentators have said that the pagan Arabs, when their wives were going to give birth, used to dig a hole and sit above it, waiting for the child to be born, and then bury her if it was female, and keep him if it was male. The cause of this crime might be due to various reasons, such as the lack of value for women in mankind by the pagan Arabs. Perhaps the other reason was the problem of poverty among those people, especially because females could not be as economically productive and beneficial as males, unfortunately. Also, that in the numerous quarrels between the tribes of that time, women should be captured by the enemies, which brought disgrace on their men. Father-daughter relation today is special. Fathers and daughters share a unique bond. Women lucky enough to have had a good relationship with their fathers as children can look back fondly on special occasions, such as birthdays and family parties, whilst also treasuring memories of everyday pleasures like trips to the park or cozy bedtime stories. Not only does a girl's relationship with her father shape her childhood experience, but it will also influence how she interacts with men in her adult years. If a father is absent or erratic in his behavior, this sets his daughter up for feelings of low self-esteem and trouble with trusting men in general. All parents should therefore appreciate the importance of understanding the father's role in his daughter's life, as his presence or absence will play a role in her self-image and well-being for decades to come. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi-nasta'in. In this episode, we are going to talk about relations between fathers and their daughters. We find that daughters are important in all families because, these daughters are going to be mothers of a later on generation. Especially, this is true because daughters should be respected, in their own homes. For example, if you have a daughter at home, you have to respect your daughter. You shouldn't humiliate your daughter. You shouldn't despise her. You shouldn't be disloyal to her. This is because Now, when a daughter is respected, later on when she gets married, her husband and her children will also respect her. And as we know, in all human communities and in all families, respecting one another is a battery, is a propelling force for everybody to go ahead and to contribute to the career and mission of any family. In this connection, let me give you an example. Imagine that the father of a family has a certain responsibility or a job at home, I mean abroad, outside family. But when this man comes back home, he doesn't find any attention or any appreciation from his family. Sooner or later, he would turn into a person devoid of any impetus or any encouragement to work hard in order to support his own family. On the other hand, when we find that such a kind of kind relationship is available, we find that in this connection, everybody receives the right encouragement.
IRIB English Radio. Recitation as well as translation of Quran.
وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَهْتَدُونَ.
And we certainly gave Moses the scripture that perhaps they would be guided.
Short commentary of the Quran. Islamic issues.
The institution of the family in Islam is the most beloved by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.
The life of the infallible. All in all, in today's special, IRIB English Radio.
Again, another message to fathers. What you need to know about raising daughters. Adolescence is an uncomfortable experience for everyone, particularly as a young girl. The frightening and sudden psychological changes are accompanied with societal pressures to look like this and walk like that. As a young teenage girl, dealing with all this pressure can be overwhelming. So when your daughter gets to her teenage years, be aware of the struggles she will certainly face and do not ever dismiss her as emotional. As a father, your psychological support is extraordinarily important. Be patient with her and let her know you are there for her. If your relationship does not allow for you to speak about feminine issues comfortably, then remember that your wife or other important women in your daughter's life are your allies. Express your concerns to those women and ask them to be there for your daughter. This way you are aware of the issue she is facing, and if or when the time comes, you will be prepared to advise her or even just listen.
Shukran ya Rabbi, shukran. Hadayta qalbi, shukran. Nawarta darbi, shukran. Shukran ya Rabbi.
شكراً يا ربي شكراً, شكراً هديت قلبي شكراً, شكراً نورت دربي شكراً, شكراً شكراً يا رب.
Now come to this part. Oh, daughters, to all the daughters, listen carefully. You always turn to your father when you are in trouble. A daughter feels safe and protected with her father. She knows if there is a man in her life who will never bail out on her and will always be there for her, that's her father. She knows she can call her father at any hour of the day and he will be there for her. No one can ever give her that sense of security and commitment.
Thank you.
We learn from Ahlul Bayt and we learn from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. So hopefully today we can shed some light of how Rasulullah dealt with Fatima alayhi salam through the hadiths and the seerah of Rasulullah and his tradition. Fatima was the main concern of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi. Every time Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi would leave the city of Medina, the last person he would see was whom?
Fatima
alayhi salam. He would go sit with her, comfort her, kiss her. And who was the first person he would go and visit as soon as he returned from his voyage or as soon as he returned to the city?
Who?
That was Fatima alayha afdalus salatu wassalam. And this is a hadith accepted and a tradition accepted by both schools of thought and all schools of thought. That Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi used to visit Fatima alayha afdalus salatu wassalam before anyone. And he would be, she would be the last person he would visit and the last face he would see before, for example, his troops mobilized and left the city to defend the Muslims and the Muslim body. It was Fatima alayha afdalus salatu wassalam. And he would show her the respect. She was his main concern. Every morning at the time of Fajr, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi would go stand at the house of Fatima. He would not go wake up his wives. He would not go stand by the doors of his wives. No, he would go stand at the door of Fatima alayha afdalus salatu wassalam. Make sure that his family, his blood, his kin were awake and worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and their connection to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was never disconnected.
That was interesting topic, the topic of father-daughter relationship. So, inshallah, we continue that. Till another episode of today's special, we leave you under Allah's protection. Have a nice time.
Told me that I'm crazy, who you're praying for? They told me there is nothing, who you're looking for? Stop doing what you're doing, cause there is no hope. Just come with me, I'll show you what's behind your door. And they showed me all kind of lies. My eyes were locked, yes, I was mesmerized. But deep inside I know that there's a better world. Cause I'm a believer. I'm a believer.
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio.
Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Diverse range of programs.